And we're back from recess. And we are on property number, if I'm not mistaken, BOE number 0115. Is that right, gentlemen and ladies?
I believe so.
Sir, we are ready for you.
Okay. Thanks.
Do you have a church?
No. I go to church. Does that matter?
Got it.
Okay.
This conversation is going nowhere. Comments.
I was sharing with Jim, though, on a side note, I moved here from Dallas, and I and 11 other families tried to start it, a church, and we had it going, and we bought some property, and we lost our, the city, they gave us X amount of time to build a building on it, and we weren't able to do that, and because we weren't growing, and so we lost our tax-exempt status, and so that was the major decision that we folded the church. We couldn't come up with the property tax, so we decided to fold it, disband.
Wow.
That's when we decided to move to Branson. So anyway, side note. No, the reason I'm here is we built some property. We're in Branson Hills. That's where we built a home, and we got two notices that I forwarded on with the other paperwork. I forwarded on the value of our property. And the valuation was different on the second one that we got notice on. And so then when I saw that the value went up, I went in and started pulling the tax records on property around us that was for sale and what was sold. And we seemed to be, even though I'm on a golf course view, the values that I pulled up from the property is appraised anywhere from $18,000 a lot to $78,000 a lot. And between that and what we paid, and of course, I don't want to go into what land value is in Branson Hills right now, but that's just something that we're all faced with. So I was just thinking that our property was overvalued as all compared to the comps that I pulled up for my neighbors' surrounding lots that are for sale. I think we know there's some foreclosures going in there. But that's a different scenario, too. So,
can I stop? Did you say, what information did you submit to us? All I have is this form. Is there anything else you submitted to us?
Uh-huh. I submitted a whole bunch of comps.
Okay, you did look them in here. Okay. All right. Sorry, it's there.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't have the evidence. I just wanted to see what it was. So.
Yeah,
I did visit with them to say that we are looking at the value of land out there.
Right.
So if you wanted to focus his comments on the structures.
But James, what happened under number one up there from the May 18th to 6-2?
The what now?
What it says is that on May 18th it was valued at 84,220, and then it jumped to 100,290.
I'd like to understand that also. That's a good question.
Yeah, that's what got my... I've got that original piece of paper if you'd like to look at it.
Can we look at that or let the assessor
sure.
look at that?
Sure. I submitted that with the paperwork I sent.
It's probably there.
Oh.
If we scroll down,
yeah.
We'll see.
Oh, that's my... Sorry about it. I scratched notes on there and I didn't white it out.
Now, this went out when?
We got one in May and one in June.
We got one in May, one in June.
Mm-hmm. And it went up from 84 to 100,000.
I think the 84,000, I believe there was many other golf course lots on it, the 100,290, and maybe it was discovered that the 84,000 wasn't the same, because I believe Mr. Strophas has made a motion to lower those golf course lots from 100 to the 78 that the assessor finally determined.
Last year?
Made it just about 5 days ago.
Well, we haven't made
any decision on
Branson Hills. We haven't done anything. You're at 78, and I was talking 61.
You was talking 61 off the
non-golf course. But we haven't made any motion yet.
Okay, you didn't make the motion.
Okay. We did have that conversation.
But we did have the golf course slots at 100,000 plus.
No, 78.
I did.
Oh.
I had those golf course
slots. I think
slots
he had two comps.
Right, that was... golf front that were...
Right, and with structures, we didn't lower them to the 78.
If they had a structure,
if they had a structure, we did not lower them.
Okay.
So that's why you got the two. Now, I provided this board with us, and you may not have it today, and I'm having... Jim,
I got a ball, buddy.
Of the comparables and the golf course lots that is actually sold arm's length transaction without any foreclosure rep, we have a copy of that there. And they're hedging toward the $100,000 mark.
What?
Purchase price, right?
So we've got them here somewhere.
Yeah, that's with the house. It's a structure.
Okay.
Are you looking for
yes.
Branson Hills? Right. Yeah. My scribble notes, 105 is what the numbers we showed for Gulf Front.
8,418.47.
123, 162, 144.
Well, I guess versus jumping around here, your house is valued at what? What's the total valuation right now on your property?
You've got it at 420. The total on the asset valuation, I believe the paper said here, 425,000.
425. And what do you believe the value should be?
Around 350 to 375.
Now, according to this, you're saying it's worth 425. We've got it on for 5 something.
Yeah. Well, I put down a value there. I didn't know exactly on this form what to put.
You
know.
On this purchase price.
Yeah. I was just looking at the reason I came up with it, and part of the reason I got this is when I pulled out the comps, what other people are doing and what that value is. That, and then when I got the notice, first of 84, then 100, I thought there could have been a mix-up. And then I looked and pulled up what the lots are going up around me, what you value them at, which I have a golf course view, as little as $18,000. So, and I looked at my neighbors, and that's where I came up with this.
Did you said you built this house?
Yes, I did.
When did you move in?
I moved in December last year.
What did it cost you to build it?
$425,000.
It cost you that much to build a house, and then the land value is where we're off?
Well, the land value I paid separately.
I make a motion to this, or make a recommendation to this board to put his house on for what the assessor calls the improvements, plus $78,000 for the land.
So just lower it at $25,000?
Right, and that'll bring the total is going to be around $500,000 over time we count the improvements in the land.
Well, there hadn't been any improvements, so but I.
Well, when I say improvements, I mean the new house.
Well, how many square foot is your house?
It's got 2 stories. Upstairs is around 24, and the bottom it's not finished out at all, hardly at all. The bottom is right at 2,000. Downstairs is mainly storage area.
And you basically show about 3,100, 3,200 to finished, and the rest is unfinished. Is what it looks like, James. That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you say you built, you meant you had it built?
I worked with the contractor, yes.
Yeah. You worked with the contractor?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get a loan on the? Did you get a loan on this? Do you have an appraisal or a pre-construction appraisal or anything on this thing?
I have what I paid the contractor. That's where I came up with 400. I think I've got paperwork at home. Our finest bill, we paid as we go along. I believe in the Dave Ramsey theory.
Mm-hmm.
We gave him a little over $324,000. I paid $100,000 for the lot. So that's where I came up with the $400,000.
So you're saying you built it for $325,000 and you paid $100,000 coming to $425,000. James, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what I thought he was saying.
Yeah.
We're off by $100,000. So you're saying you could show that you built it for $325,000 with the contractor.
Right. And I paid $100,000
for the lot. So that's how you got your four and a quarter number.
Right. And that lot probably worth a lot less. Well, you know what values of lots are going for.
That's how I understood.
Yeah.
Would that make a difference to you?
Yes. I would rather see an appraisal.
Or just the receipts or something? Or
I'd like to see an appraisal on it. It costs $300 for an appraisal.
Okay.
And that takes out all the aspects of what something's worth there on the golf course. Because I have no way of taking that house to our grading capacities and everything down to a $325,000 house. Because we just got it on for $56 a square foot, if you look.
Got off for what, James? I'm sorry.
We just got it on for $56.68 a square foot.
I didn't spend that much on square footage.
Right.
From the contractor.
I'm looking at a document, so.
And I got on here, actually, to your advantage, that you just paid $90,000 for your lot. We got that back in the sales letter.
No, I if you wanted to see it, I brought a copy of the purchase of the check that we made out to him for the lot. It's $100,000. I paid $100,000 for it.
I need to change that here.
Well, you got it on at 56 and come up with what on the structure, James?
$424,000 just for the structure alone.
And that's for the... Help me out, James. You had to use that for the area that's also not improved?
Right, but that's just a percentage. 56.68 against the base, then all the adjusted areas are put on at a percentage. Kenny, if you're listening and can pull the file, would you please bring the file down on 8418, parcel 47, please, so we can see the drawing? I have an awful lot of adjusted area to that. That's why I want to see the drawing.
Sure.
We got over 7,000 feet in adjusted.
And that's all. That's about 3,800, right? It's about 3,800.
Adjusted,
close to it.
But that's porches, patios, upstairs, if there's loss, downstairs, carports.
Unfinished basement,
unfinished all that. Basements, unfinished, and the whole thing. So Kenny will bring that down and see if we might have a... and you haven't called my office to come and remeasure or anything like that? Okay.
I got a number in mind, Ron. Jim, what did you say a while ago?
He says he's got 3.25 in the improvements and 100,000 in the land is what he's saying.
That's 4.25.
That's
max.
4.25 basically is what he's saying he's got into the project.
But we have to take it on a square foot basis. You can't build a house for 56.
Well, that's what he's built. That's the problem.
Well, he's got a lot of unfinished.
Right.
Stuff. But if you take the $100,000 away, you've got $325,000, and you're building that house for around $40 a square foot.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he's saying he spent $325,000
right.
for the improvements
right.
and $100,000 for land. That's what he's saying.
Right.
But we've got it out for $100,000 more on the land. And right. I understand why, but that's what you're saying you have receipts for.
Well, I'm going by memory. All right. A lot of the... what I paid the subcontractor, what I paid the contractor, I bought a lot of material myself. So, okay, what I can show receipts on what we paid him on his final bill when he gave us clear deed. Okay, now we bought a lot of the stuff ourselves. You know, we joined by direct. If you're build a house, great way to go. Well, I saved quite a bit of money based on what his estimates were. So, okay. So the total amount of dollars I threw in the house is more than $300,000. I'm pretty sure I've got a receipt from him saying that what we gave him was on the things that he did for me on that house.
Right. But, so do you have $350,000 in the house? Or
yes. $375,000? I mean, my total value of the house, what I've got into it, is close to $400,000.
With the land? Yeah. Or with the house?
With the house, yeah. Yeah. So, but I've got, you know, what we gave the builder was one thing. But
What would you price the house at if you were wanting to sell it?
What I would try to sell it for? I'm not going to for right now, but if I did put it on the market, based on the other houses in that subdivision right now, I'd be lucky to get $400,000 for it.
So this is adjuster.
There's a lot of homes for sale in that subdivision right now.
I'm thinking about 485. They're giving them away. What I had started before we even started the conversation of anybody who had what in what.
Make it a motion. We'll call it good.
It's 485.
Yeah.
Well, James, you got any unadjusted areas that are?
No, it's a. I'm just going to hold that drawing up here, and you see all these cuts and curves and porches and double decks on the back of it and stuff. So the adjusted is probably correct, Ron. That's the drawing of it. Can you guys see it from there?
I can.
Well, I have an out. You know, the downstairs, even though most of it's not finished, it's a walkout.
Oh.
It's a walkout downstairs.
Right.
So it just, you know, it's just a sliding glass door that goes outside. I do have a balcony upstairs.
Well, I was thinking 45 would be reasonable, I think. Now, if he wanted to come in with an appraisal, if he thinks it's lower than that. But
you're thinking 445?
I think 485 would be fair.
Total value? That's where I was looking at per square foot. The way I understand it from our initial conversation, you got a lot of unfinished
spaces.
Yes.
So that's where I was going off of. I knew you can't build a house for $56 a square foot in it. Mm-hmm. So with the unfinished areas, what has to make up the difference? So that's what I was doing. I'm going to make a motion for 485.
Total.
Yeah.
Leaving the land value the same.
Yeah.
And that's on BOE, BOE.
Zero, that's 0115.
Right. I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to establish BOE number 0115 at a total of $485,000.
And you're leaving the land value the same?
Don't put that in your motion, because that's the easiest place for us to make.
Okay.
That includes land and improvements. Discussion, gentlemen?
Can I ask? It's not exactly what you asked for, but it's better than...
No, it sounds fair. Okay. If you guys think it's fair, then I would accept fair.
That's the only reason I said it, because I thought it was a fair price. Okay.
All right. I can live with that. You okay with that, James?
We're making it work.
Okay.
All those in favor, motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. You need anything else from me?
You'll get me something.
We're going to send this notice to you in the mail. Telling you exactly what we did, which you just heard.
All right. All right.
It'll also give you an opportunity to go on to the tax commission if you choose to do that.
I understand. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your patience waiting.
You bet. Thanks.
Take care. I think Marshall Swift, I think the last time I checked this, for average built house is $84 a square foot cost to build. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, what was it?
56.
The only problem we got, that's usually adjusted from the base area, Jeff, and we use our total square footage,
right,
as a percentage. So sometimes ours shows a little less, but if we adjusted back to base area, you would have seen a $100 figure there.
Oh, okay.
What is your last name, ma'am? Are you on here today?
345.
Sorry, last.
Well, since she's here, can we just go straight to that?
I agree.
Would you like to come right on up, and we'll go back and catch these others after a while?
What are we doing?
Boggy River.
That's mine. I've heard of that.
This is the one that's been water damaged.
Yes, it's been in the water twice this year and twice in 2008.
Gosh.
Now, your value's been adjusted. You know that.
Yeah, it's just it went up this year, and I couldn't figure out how an underwater house went up.
Oh, it's down. I mean, it's only sitting at $71,963 since the flood.
Right. We made a 50% adjustment off of the structure and 50% off the land if they had over 48 inches of water in it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Then maybe you can just help me understand what I'm looking at here, where it looks like it went up from 2010.
It did go up.
Before the flood?
Before the flood, but once we put the flood adjustment on it, it adjusted it back. You didn't get notice of the flood adjustment.
No, I didn't.
Well, it's about half.
Oh, well, then that was fast.
Yeah, because your land's on 25, and a total structure value is 46,000.
Okay.
And here
so
this
total
is
71,000.
And that's pretty much what it looks like now, too.
Here this is, and I apologize, but we don't send them out when something goes down. We just send them out whenever they go up.
Okay. Yeah, that's more reasonable.
All right.
All right, thank you very much.
Sorry.
So the total is 71,963?
Yeah. So there's no need for a motion. It's already the same as it was.
We'll figure something out. But, yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry for the long drive.
Happy for the good news.
For the record's sake.
We need a motion to.
I think that we would need a motion to deny.
Yeah, I think you're right. Motion to deny BOE number 0119.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny the request on property number 0119. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Shall we jump back up to Clifford?
Well, just a point of clarification. Go. At 3:30, it says that someone's supposed to be here?
Barry Madison.
Okay, so I guess.
Wait a minute. No. He called earlier today. Uh-huh. He has to switch to a phone conference. I have a phone number.
Okay, so they both have phone calls. Okay, never mind.
We're at. Custin, is that the name? Clifford and Edna? I'm on the road.
This is 45-55 split.
That's what it is.
No, this is a house in Chilton Bend.
But I want to know.
Oh, no, there we go.
Who filled these out? Because that's the same pen that wrote previous precedent dictates.
Every one of them is the same pen.
Oh, it's you.
No,
it's you.
Not me.
When they call in, it's
somebody
our,
did.
Our clerk's office. That's what they're saying, right? No, they mailed this.
They mail it in. Each one is signed by the owner. I don't know who filled out that.
Please enter your account code.
I'd say secretary of their association filled those out.
And they mailed it to them, and they mailed it back to us.
Hello?
Mr. Kustin?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Ron Hausman with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Yes.
And we have a property in front of us that you have appealed the valuation on.
Yes, sir.
And you are speaking to, I have you on speakerphone, the entire Board of Equalization here in the county.
Yeah, I understand.
And are you ready to talk about this parcel of property?
Yes, sir.
We have it in front of us, and why don't you go ahead and begin?
Well, you know, over the years, we've had this condo for a number of years, and things keep changing with regard to the evaluation, and I'm an old guy, and I really don't understand what's happening. We rent that out, it's true, and we also use it, and our family uses it. Some time back, several years back, it went from being all residential. And I had nothing to do with that. I mean, that's the way you folks graded it. Then it suddenly became commercial, and obviously the taxes went up. And then last year the taxes went up, even though over the years that we've had that condo, the value of it is not what we paid for. But we paid cash, so that's not a big problem because, as I say, we use it sometimes, family uses it sometimes, we rent it out. And then this year, I got notice that it was changed from, I think, 55% residential and 45% commercial to all commercial, and the valuation went up over $4,000. Now, I received no explanation for what happened or why it was changed or anything. anything, because actually the use of that property has not changed ever since we bought it. As you say, we, our family, use it sometimes, and we rent it out in Thousand Hills. So, you know, seriously, it's getting to be, this is not your problem, it's mine. It's getting to be where it's really not economical for us really to keep that property anymore as expenses go up. But as I say, I don't understand what's happening, why it's happening in this era where property values continue to go down, and yet our valuations go up, and obviously our taxes go up. We've had no explanation for any of that.
Let me very quickly jump in and state that it really was not the assessor's choice to increase many of these properties to commercial from the split of residential commercial, but yet it was a Supreme Court decision that stated if, in fact, the properties were used for nightly rentals, that they be assessed as commercial, unless the property owner provides the assessor with the statement that it is available less than 50% of the year to the public to rent, in which case he has the option then of putting it on at 45-55.
Yeah. Well, I am not prepared to say that, you know, we have three married children with families. I'm not prepared to say that we use it over 50% of the time. You know, I don't know. I don't pay attention when the kids use it. And the rest of the time, as I say, it's rented out through Thousand Hills. But you know, I haven't looked into that. I haven't paid attention to that.
Mr. Custin, this is James Strahan, the assessor. The record I'm looking at here on your condo, I'm having a little trouble following it because I showed $35,990 assessed in 09, $33,180 in 10, but down to $31,720 for 2011, which is showing a consistent drop.
Yeah.
And that's well, leaving the value.
That wasn't my understanding, but okay, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But you can understand my position. We received no explanation to why these changes have been going on when, from our standpoint, my wife and I and our children's standpoint, you know, nothing has changed with regard to our usage of the property in the years that we've had it. You understand that?
Yes, I do, and I know we're covered by law, and if you could provide me a letter that states that you use it available less than 50% of the time, then the 45-55 split comes in.
Yeah. Okay, well, I understand.
Or have one of your children provide that letter. What number could they fax it to, James?
You could fax that information ASAP to...
Well, as I say, I don't know that I can honestly... And I'm just an old guy trying to sneak his way into heaven, okay? So I'm not gonna lie. But I don't know, but I doubt seriously that we use it over 50% of the time. Now it's vacant a lot of the time.
Sure.
You know, but
sure.
But
actually
used by us over 50% of the time I can't say that.
Go get the legislation.
Okay. And only once in that way. Sir, I thank you for your honesty. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, well, as they say, at my age, I'm just trying to sneak into heaven.
And the Lord's got a sharp eye.
Let me let you know that we're not finished talking about these parcels, and we're going to continue to do so. And if we lower this or if we maintain it at the same, we're going to notify you immediately within 5 days, and we'll also give you an opportunity at that time to appeal it to the Missouri State Tax Commission. But again, we're not finished discussing these particular parcels of property.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
And I appreciate your call.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
I'm going to put a hold on that.
I agree. We just don't make a decision right now.
James, can you tell me?
That we have to make if we do.
In front of us, for this Board of Equalization for the month, how many did we get scheduled? There are 45, 55 decisions.
I don't think there would be over 25 or 30. But now, where there has been, there's a lot more properties than that been valued at that prior to the Board of Equalization set up on the 2009 decision.
45, 55.
Right.
I can tell you where I'm
leading. I know where you're going.
I just
I'm about ready to.
It just kills me.
The problem we've got, guys, is the Promenade and the Hiltons are absolutely 100% no denial by any of them.
Well, Promenade can't be. They have to not have rent. They have to be available for rent.
Right.
Because they're restricted how many days they can actually use it.
Right.
By Promenade and the other one, they're restricted on how much they can actually use.
I know, but I don't know whether we've got a few more out there like that or not, Jim, is what I'm trying to say. Other than what the direction Mr. Houseman is leaning with the blanket coverage of it. I did that originally, 30-70.
Mm-hmm.
There was no split whatsoever. No other split, 30-70. I put them on 30% commercial based on an ADR and all that type thing. Tried to make it right, but of course the state changed it.
Whatever we do, and James is going to call it a mistake next year.
No, this is going. I just call them when I see them, sir. Just call them when I see them, sir.
Doesn't matter what it is. We got one more call.
Perry Madison. He's at 3:30.
Yes.
We're a little late.
Tab. And Galena? Where's Galena, Missouri, which is kind of funny for me. No, the house is in Galena, Missouri. So, traditionally, Galena's in. No.
I hope Jeff didn't pick these comparables for.
I haven't even looked at it.
I hope Jeff hadn't picked these comparables.
Okay, where are we here?
Up here in Oremus.
Where? Which is it? Perry Madison Irrevocable Trust? And is that a phone call?
Yes.
Yes, I put the number right there.
Thank you. Oh, right here.
Oh, I take it back. This is comparable. I was really confused. Like, how can we make a decision in Stone County? We must have been in Christian County last week, though, so. I think I found one.
Yes. Is this Perry Mason?
I said the same thing. Fair Lakes Church on one of my attachments.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to say. I'll ignore that one.
I found the evidence.
Hello?
Yes. Is this Perry Madison? Or?
Yeah, this is Brent Perry.
Brent Perry, I'm sorry.
No problem.
I was looking at the irrevocable trust.
Yeah, the property name. Yeah, it's in my daughter's trust.
I gotcha. Okay. Mr. Perry, this is Ron Houseman with the Board of Equalization here in the county. And we have... Good afternoon. We have a... I'm sorry to be so curt. We've done a lot of these in a row.
I understand.
We have your property in front of us. Are you ready to talk about that at this time?
Sure. I don't have any of the paperwork that I sent in front of me with you, or with me, that you hopefully have there. It's just some comparables I pulled, and then a copy of the contract when I bought the property last year.
And we have all that information in front of us, I believe, don't we, folks?
Oh,
we do. Yep, we've got it.
Okay, perfect.
We are in the we're in the process of pulling that up on different computers.
Okay, no problem.
You go right ahead. We're listening.
Yep. Yeah. Basically, I think, and I don't know the exact numbers. I think right now the valuation is like 248, something like that. And basically, my position was, you know, I paid 215 for it last May, and as you know, obviously property values have continued to decline. The property values out there, the land alone, I think originally those lots were going, you know, 70 to 90,000, and their list price on most of them now is 20,000. So, you know, just value-wise, I think even at 215, I probably overpaid for the property a bit. So my opinion is, you know, the value is probably 195 or 200 at this point.
You never had an appraisal done?
Nope, sure did.
Well, the land's on for 32. The land's on for 32,000.
Right.
Is the structure about 1,800 square foot?
I haven't measured to be exact, but it's that, and then there's a half-finished basement, or I guess walk-out basement.
Right. So you're on 244,300 right now, and you're saying it's worth 200,000.
All right. And I paid 215, and
when did you buy it?
Looking at getting more familiar with the market, I think probably overpaid it fast.
When did you buy it?
Said last
May of last year, May of 2010.
I'd make a recommendation to this board to lower it to his purchase price of 215.
Did you hear the assessor's recommendation, sir?
No, I did. I caught pieces of it.
He is recommending to this board that we establish the value of the property at your purchase price of $215.
Okay. And is there any idea what the number then? I think it's the property tax is $2,800 or so. What effect that will have?
Is there a formula that I can calculate that? If you call the county assessor's office and talk to Kenny, there is a couple of charts that he can go by to help you, and that number, James, is?
417-546-7240 and ask for Kenny.
7240 and ask for Jeannie?
Kenny with a K.
Kenny, okay, got it. Okay, yeah, that's fine. That works for me. We'll just go with 215.
Hold on for just a second. Let me tell you that if the board approves that, we're going to send you a notification in the mail within 5 days. If you're not happy with that, then you can appeal it to the State Tax Commission.
Okay.
I'm ready for a motion.
Motion to set value at 215 for assessor's recommendation on BOE appeal number 0220.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower the valuation of BOE BOE number 0220. To $215,000 per assessor's recommendation. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. That motion has carried. If you'll call the assessor's office, they can help you with that calculation, sir.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I had a Larson, single page with the name Larson on it.
Kurt, Pat? Right.
Not on this agenda.
Okay.
We have the Branson Hills, is that right? No. Houston? What is Houston again? Who was that?
No, that's the old 45, 25.
Okay. We've got that, and then we've got the church.
Let's just take the church and lower that, just get away from down to about 20%, 80%.
A20?
Yeah.
Exactly what I was going to say.
You good with that, Ron?
Great minds think alike.
Keep the numbers.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and step out of limit. Motion to set valuation to...
let's mark off what that valuation would be.
80% exempt, 20% non-exempt on BOE appeal number 0192. It's basically classification, not valuation.
That's correct.
I second your motion.
Oh, and that was your recommendation?
Yes, sir.
That was per assessor's recommendation. It's a whole lot easier, percent-wise.
Well, for the sake of discussion, there's been a motion made and seconded to establish BOE number 0192 at 80% exempt and 20% taxable as per assessor's recommendation. Discussion, and I'm trying to get back to that property.
Did I read in that they paid $3 million?
That's where I want to go, is what is the valuation
that's
that we're going
to
be
paying?
That's what they had to pick up. They're part of the,
oh, that was
the notes payable for Hobby Lobby.
Right. And we've got it on for about 20% of that they'll be paying on about $1 million, which would cut their tax bill almost.
We got it on for six.
Right at six.
5.9.
Well, where was the five? I seen the five somewhere. Yeah, oh, market value. Is that their idea of market value? Five?
Yes.
So we're going to be looking at a valuation, if I'm not mistaken, of what? $1,200,000?
Probably.
Does that make sense? No. Yes. Pretty close to that. 11175 or something.
1180 or something like that. Close.
And then then that's commercial too, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's 32% of that. So we're looking at
$377,600. Now that's just close. Now,
rough, I understand.
Time. Creating a tax bill of about $18,880.
Kevlar coming. I'll make sure I don't miss it. 6 o'clock. Bulletproof vest now.
And that was on for 100%, right? The whole church value? No,
no, it was on. Yeah, it was on for 4/7 at 59.9.
4/7 taxable or exempt?
Yes.
4/7, so 4/7 down to
20%.
20%.
4/7 would have been 57%.
It was on four, and we're dropping it down to 4/7.
If this motion passes, will you call that pastor for me, one of the two of you, tell them per his recommendation, this board has chosen to vote and accept that at 20%. Discussion? Oh, they're having one. Nathan.
It doesn't smell right to me.
Okay.
I don't doubt they're doing a good work or trying to do a good work. And I was for exempting them until he said it's a wash. When he said we make enough off of Daniel O'Donnell to pay our taxes. So that if Daniel O'Donnell is making a profit coming to Branson, or somebody is making a profit off him coming to Branson, he will be in Branson. Some facility somewhere will host him. Whether it's there, it doesn't matter. So the argument of it's good for the community doesn't hold water with this cowboy. If it's good for the community, somebody will have him. I don't know. You know, and I'm only one guy, so a four to nothing will throw me out of the water. But
no, I think you make a good point.
I don't know that I can say. I don't know. And when I'm in doubt, I don't know that I can vote for it. Although I can't say that 80% exempt is bad. We're acknowledging they're doing stuff that probably needs to charge for. I did not ask the man. Do they charge sales taxes at that cafe that he described?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm pretty sure they do.
You know, I've never been to his facility. I don't know how it's structured. I know nothing about it.
Here's my reasoning earlier when I said 1/7, which was about 14%. When he said they utilized it about 10% of the time, you can't solely base it on days used, because even while they're using it, even while he's there performing, that Daniel Day, whatever his name is, they have other events going on within that church that's so big at the same time. They
right.
have so many different events going on. It's nonstop, 7 days a week. There's something going on in that church that does benefit the people and the ministry. But during that time, even at the same time, they have that performer there. Or another one, whoever that other one was, and I can't remember the name of that. But so when I was thinking before, if I went solely by days, yeah, it might seem like more. But the church is using it as a church at the same time for
right.
the youth, for the seniors, for... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. The reason I was going with 80-20 is just exactly what you said. The availability. He just made the statement that it was available. If somebody come along and wanted to rent the thing, it would come before them, and it would be available for a commercial venture. And that's...
They're already at 17% this year.
Yeah, so what
with
I'm
the
saying
days
is,
on the books.
I think that if we take the 80-20, and that's the reason I was
considering
but
they're probably at 100% on days in the books for church activities.
But the 80-20... puts them in a position to get to the state tax commission, which I want them to do.
I'm not arguing the percentage.
Yeah, I think it puts them in a position to make them go to the state tax commission.
The 80-20? Mm-hmm. I think they'll stop. I don't think they'll go. Aren't they on the hook for the whole thing this year? Or is it still 4-7?
What are they on the hook for, James?
Well, they'll go if they don't, if we don't do it.
They
it.
On the
4-7. 4-7, right? I had them outside for 1/7, which was like 14 or 15%, whatever that is. He said we'd be tickled to death at that. And then that. But I don't know why they wouldn't be tickled at this either. That's pretty.
4/7 is just over 50%.
They're going from 4/7 to 20%. And 4/7 is what? 40?
About a third.
No?
No.
It's over half.
I was thinking 4/8 the difference would be is half. A third of the.
So it's going from assessment of about 55-60%.
Well, you're using
50-50. So it's going from 57% to 20.
I guess the other argument I have is I have been around churches a long time compared to my lifespan. Compared to some people, it's not a lot. And if a church is doing a good work, the Lord will provide the funding they need. People will pony up and pay for it. You don't have to have commercial ventures. You don't need commercial ventures.
How do you know the Lord didn't send them there?
It was there previous. And the man admitted it. you know, we can. I'll hush. You can vote.
But
no,
sir,
I may vote no. I'll yield. It's the hour's late. You $139 a day people probably want to go.
That's what we get paid, Danny. That's what we get paid. They only get paid $75. For the record, Ron and Jane get more than that.
Anyway.
Excuse me. Yeah.
What am I looking at you?
They get paid $145. Danny and I get paid $139. You guys get $145. Their opinion more counts more.
And for the record, not enough.
It's. I probably am going to vote no. It doesn't smell right to me, but I'm one man and I hold no grudges. So that's just where I stand.
You think the percentage ought to be higher than that?
Lower.
I think I'm good with the 80-20. Or is it 20-80?
No, it's 80.
And the 20 exempt. Commercial.
You've recommended 80% exempt and 20% taxable.
Yeah. Ron, where are you at this?
14%.
Not that low. I was at 25 over here.
So we're splitting the difference. I'm going to vote for it. Unless Nathan continues and he changes my mind.
There's no motion on the floor yet, is there?
Yeah. Yes, there is.
Seconded. That's right. I thought I made the motion, but I couldn't remember.
Ron, it's... I probably can't change your mind.
I
can't change your mind.
Called a mistake.
It just seems to me that they're using commercial ventures to try to fund the church. And in my opinion, the purest form of a church should not need commercial ventures.
Well, like you said, though, if they make money and then use that money for, what did he say? The
dovetails, what they call it.
Well, I thought he said he sent like $10,000 to
orphans in Africa. His
point was if he didn't have to use it on taxes, he could use it to fund other ventures like that.
Right.
I don't know where you go to church, if you go to church, or if you've ever been involved in churches trying to raise money. It's like pulling teeth out of a mad hen. They're hard to find, and they don't want to give them up.
Right. Excellent, it's on recording. Perfect.
So you're bringing tithing into this,
aren't you? I didn't say a thing about tithing. I'm just talking about raising extra money. In 2004, my sister was involved with the inner city group in Cincinnati that had been working, she was going to Bible college out there, had been working with inner city people down in the ghetto of Cincinnati. They wanted to form a school for these dropouts that society was forgetting and tutor. And the Kimberleys, she was in Kimberley's wedding a week ago today, Dorcas Hallam's her name, had come up with the plan to teach and have a school on Main Street in Cincinnati, right down in the ghetto. Figured it would take $29,000 to fund that thing for a year. So it was a camp meeting service there at the college. I was not in attendance, but she told what her dream was to have this school. She said it'll take $29,000. She just walked off and sat out. Nothing was said about rate. Nothing was said. A man, Dad was there, stood up in front of Dad, walked to the platform. He said, I didn't talk to my wife about it, but we'll give the first $5,000. In 4 minutes, they raised $29,000 to do. So the president of the college, Mike Avery, got up and he said, Dorcas, he said, there's your money. Go with it. And let that be a lesson to you. If God's in something, he will provide a way. And so from my perspective, I have a very difficult time seeing a church that uses commercial ventures to fund their way. Because God always has a man. There's men that Eldon Spieth was a farmer in Iowa, filthy rich. And when he died, he left it all. And most of what he left to Kentucky Mountain Bible College, where his son's the president. There are men of means who can provide. And I just have trouble with voting for tax-exempt status of any degree more than what they already are. Because if we vote no, they're still at the 4-7s. That I have trouble voting for it, knowing what I know about how God operates and how he can fund his work. And that's where I stand.
Well, maybe that's how the Daniel, what was his name, Daniel?
O'Donnell, I don't know.
O'Donnell? Maybe that's
I've
how
never
he
heard of
contributes. Is,
couldn't tell him.
But give money, he gives concerts.
More discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 This was at the 2080.
Uh-huh.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. We had also the property for the 4555.
We haven't. We just
so
held
we're
that.
Holding. We're holding.
Just holding on. That's all I have left.
What about the letter we received?
We've already made that motion.
You got that one, Karen.
We're also going to have to find some time, guys, to talk about this subdivision, for example, and what we're going to set it in at, whether or not we're going to put different tiers of assessments for that golf front property or the non-golf front property.
Right.
For valuation.
If you guys are going to do that now and set different
tiers, I just,
we're going to need some time, Ron, to
I
do
understand.
That to
I
get
understand.
It through the court.
On the Thousand Hills. The
but isn't that what we talked about for the ones that we've been holding back?
Yes, on the Branson Hills.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying. Well, we still haven't decided.
I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. I was thinking two different things. I was thinking Branson Hills. That's why I was mentioning the golf club property or the.
But if you're going to, like I say, if you're going to do that, don't hold that to the last day on me because it's going to take some time to pull the maps and get the lots around the golf course value and get it to the clerk versus the second tier stuff. It's not going to be one that Emerald Point wasn't that away. We just valued them, the whole thing.
Well, again, we've got a little bit of time here at the end of this day if we want to choose to do that or something else. But somewhere along the line, if we are going to do that, we need to do it so that you do have plenty of time.
And like I say, I do know there will be appraisals coming in on individual lots, similar to appraisals coming in on individual houses that will kind of probably skew that value. But
yeah,
you have
but like you said, we can't wait till the 29th or 30th. Maybe they'll all come in the next couple of days. But
that last week, you only have one open day, and we would have to enter all of them and get letters sent out.
And Ron's pretty good. He's learning
our staff.
How but to do that telephone thing.
But what we could do is what we could do is next week just extend one of the days for discussion and just do it.
Not next week, unless it's Friday.
Next week, you're only here on Friday. This is really, I would encourage you this week.
Yeah, we want
it to be done today, tomorrow, or Wednesday.
How about Wednesday?
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're committed until 5 on Wednesday, right? Right here?
Oh, no. I sent my schedule in.
We don't care. Who'd you send it into? I didn't get it. Did you get it?
The clerk. Who's doing the scheduling?
Are you trying 139's get excused or what?
Oh, you don't have to excuse me. I just want to shut. Remember presidents? I have precedents.
You have a president?
I have presidents. We can go tomorrow night. I don't care. We can do it tonight. I don't care.
Well, let's have a general discussion about it first. Is it something we even want to do?
It's up to you guys. I've done my thing. You guys are making the decision of the evidence presented.
Didn't you make a recommendation on golf front property here the other day? He did.
He said second tier should be 61,000, then never continued on, and he got stopped at that point.
And golf front should be?
He said 78,000 was fine.
Well, I mean,
where are we? Well, the 100 we saw a minute ago.
So we have 100 that has a house on it, 78 that doesn't have a house, and then you got your builder lot price.
Well, we don't know what he's going to set that with the house on it, right?
Yeah.
Would you leave it at 78?
Kind of like Bart Tishner says, he said he didn't care if the land was at a dollar and the structure was at $500,000. He wanted the total valuation to be market value.
It would be better if you left it at 78. That way we could just leave the golf fronts at 78 and then we could argue just non-golf front and we just have one change for you versus a bunch of changes.
I heard you talking about your appointment, so I came and give you some information. I am putting some people on the 22nd because I haven't gone past 5 o'clock yet, but I'm putting some people on the 22nd that are coming in. I'm giving them a note that I'm handing them as notice. On Monday, the 25th, is Monday.
Don't we have the 22nd filled up?
During normal time, yeah. I'm going past that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you won't have any time, you'll have to make your decisions either on the fly or at 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Then on the 25th, I am also extending the 25th. The problem with the 26th and the 27th is that you already have appointments from 1 to 4. One with Steve Creedon on the 26th. On the 27th, it's Harry Styron from 1 to 4. So it's hard to add any more appointments because we don't know how long they're going to talk.
Now, they have how many parcels of property? We can know
Bazillions.
We can know how long they're going to talk by establishing that amount of time right now, right? We can't
say 5 minutes.
We asked them how long they need to talk. They gave us the 3-hour time period.
Why can't we go later?
We can establish that.
I am. It's a Monday, right?
Yeah. Let's go late on the 25th.
I can tell you that before I came in here, I probably
did they have BOEs in 8 years?
I know I had 12 when I counted at one time that have come in today, and I've had several faxed in. Yes, okay. So
when's the last day?
Today at 5. Yeah.
I have an additional 16 to put in already, and we're still getting faxes and people walking in. I know I have one guy who's walking one in close to 5 o'clock.
I want to go back to the ones that
and
have.
And some of them are bid. I'm sorry.
The ones that have so many.
Close.
Okay, how many does he have?
I just took a look.
He's got a staff.
Yeah. Is it he's representing them as. Attorney?
And he's got a group drawn. I mean, an argument for this staff.
No, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Can we move them, him, to say like the 23rd, which is a Saturday, which frees up all that other time that we have on our regular days to take all these people?
You're out of town? So it
would be Lynn and I. No, she's not. It's BOE.
She's
out of town. No, she's not. I'll be here.
Well, why don't we do this? Why wouldn't we just move all of our county commission stuff real early and start earlier on the 25th? Right now, we have an only we're scheduled to is 10 o'clock.
Well, we did that today and didn't get done till 1 o'clock.
But we scheduled 10 till. But we scheduled till 12.
Oh, yeah.
When I did Donna say she is
is
shutting down at 4 every day? What's the deal going to 5?
We could easily go to 5. We're leaving it for this stuff for the deliberations on what we do with massive.
And almost all of them are already past 4. Some of them were just till 4:15 and some till 4:30. But we're taking them longer now because they wanted an hour for deliberation. But I'm having to fill that in.
Well, and we can just stay a little bit longer. I'm not averse to doing a Saturday and cleaning all this up.
I'd rather get through all the deliberation, and if we have to come in on the last Saturday just to finish the decisions, I'd sure like to make the days longer versus taking a whole another day out of the system. I mean, and these guys have got a real life here. We signed up for this, but to take an extra day out of their life, I'd rather just go longer. Do we have to go to the evening?
You just don't want to pay another $75.
It's all about the money.
Yeah.
Well, are you guys gone on that Thursday?
What Thursday?
Last week.
No.
Well, about my birthday, I'll be here.
Yeah,
are you talking about the 28th?
Yes.
No, we're here.
But we don't have anything. We've been told we couldn't schedule that day.
Right.
On the 28th?
Mm-hmm.
The sheet that...
The 28th, I would prefer it. I think I had just a two-hour block is all I should, but I...
On the 28th on our... The agenda we gave you was 9 to 5.
No, I think I think I had 1 to 5 was right. Right. We can go 1 to 5 there.
We can go 8 to 5 or 9 to 5.
Well, I have a lunch
appointment. When's their last day? I thought it was last Friday.
That's true.
You didn't work it out. Yeah, I'm serious.
You already left early before.
I know.
There are no lunch appointments during BOE, right?
Well, so we start at 1 to 5 and then we can expand to 9 to 5 if we need to.
Okay.
1 to 5 and then I'll go ahead and start setting those appointments.
You'll be back from lunch at that time, then?
1 o'clock?
Yes, okay.
Is it earlier versus later? Or just
I better get time? Back in there. I'm the only one in there.
Well, actually, you're not in there.
I'm not. You're right.
I don't know what you're confused about.
A lot. Hey, Nathan.
Ma'am.
I really like what you had to say earlier.
Bless you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The Lincoln Institute comment being recorded. Nobody ever brags on me.
No, James, that's true. No one ever does. I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you, James.
James, Nathan makes one huge statement and he gets bragged on.
Okay, but here, let me ask you a question. If we left, back to Branson Hills, if you leave the 78, whatever it is, for Golf Front, and you make that adjustment for that one guy, are you comfortable leaving that 78 there and moving everything to 61, which is the average or the median for all the non-Golf Front?
That was your motion.
That was what the numbers showed.
It wasn't a motion.
It wasn't a motion. It's a discussion point.
Was it? Maybe
no, but that's what he was. That's where he was headed when we shut him down.
What are those lots currently?
78.2.
For the non?
For everything.
For everything, yeah.
Except for those that have a house on it.
And I think that's...
Reasonable?
Acceptable, yeah, reasonable.
For all lots?
61 for non-Golf Front, and all lots that are Golf Front, 78.2. Basically not changing those.
And what's structure values?
You just
leave them.
Just leave all the non-golf at 78.2 and raise the Golf Front to 88.2 or something.
Well, the numbers don't substantiate that. What numbers substantiate is 61,105.
We had that there somewhere. You got that number.
The numbers substantiate 68 and 105. We only have two Golf Front.
How many parcels are we talking about?
Several in Branson Hills. Lots in Branson.
Here, I do have a question. Do you really think the value of those lots are less because of the SID?
Yes, sir. 100%, I believe that.
So is 61, is that why you're more apt to believe 61, because they're harder to sell because of the SID?
I've had realtors tell me that it has really hurt their sales.
For the SID? Yeah. Because of the SID on those lots?
Because it's become known.
Right.
They sold like crazy before they found out.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say that, but that could be.
It's absolutely the way it is. It's... And people don't realize what's coming out of their pocket until they have to pay it. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm willing to pay that SID because it's going to improve.
Well, I've had a lot of phone calls on that SID, too, from property owners.
Oh, man.
Seeing if we can do anything.
Well, you got another one.
Well, what I did hear that was interesting, you could petition the voting process to board members.
I'm on today on that.
This decrease you're going to be voting on in this BOE is entirely SID to blame.
That's how I feel about it.
Do you need it any
different? Well, like I told that one gentleman that was talking to us for 15.5 minutes, why don't you get off the middle of the fence and get an opinion?
Well, there's no doubt about it. Taxes ain't to blame because they know what the taxes is.
Yeah.
The taxes ain't to blame.
What was the choir back there in harmony? Mm-hmm. He said, mm-hmm.
We had to hear it too. Right.
So you would support a 61. I mean, that's about as low as I could support.
Who said that?
I'm looking at him.
Oh, the assessor?
Jeff said he'd support it. I got two. Two of the seven members.
For the non-Gulf Fry.
Where's Donna at? She gets a vote on this.
Should be right.
Danny, what are you thinking over there? Are you thinking 61 is a doable number?
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm going to move that we set Branson Hills non-golf front lots to an average price of $61,000.
Does that give them those ones that are up? Because the only reason I was had any hesitation on that was because there was some of them with kind of a view.
My vote's to get rid of all sins.
That wasn't on the table. No, this was strictly golf front. Forget the views. Golf front, non-golf front. That made it real simple.
I'm with it. I'm with
you. You're all right with it? Can I lobby for a second?
Have you made the motion?
Yeah, yet? Just now.
So
he needs to talk to me before he comes.
All the lots are about the same size, right?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, no, they're not. Didn't we have one up on the top there that we had to view that was... Of course, we got an obsolescence factor,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he said all of these.
Well, why don't you help us with this before you leave?
I did.
Are all the lots the same size?
Basically, yeah. We have valued Branson Hills as being a buildable lot. We don't go, well, you've got this much more flat area than the other one.
Okay.
Let me take you a second step. Is there a builder's break within there?
Yes.
Yes.
This the motion I just heard didn't allow that.
It should take that into consideration.
It didn't. Right?
It did not.
I'm not being facetious.
And that was just an oversight. I wasn't planning to change that out. But the question is, how do you want me to word it?
I don't think you ought to even enter that into the conversation because... We don't enter into the conversation on other subdivisions throughout the county.
We did just this past week.
Emerald Point, you got builder's breaks.
You didn't?
No, it didn't.
No, we didn't list the number.
We called it on non-developer lots.
I hate to call you on that.
Non-developer lots, I think, is what the motion was.
Because I believe I referred back to past BOEs instructing the assessor to make sure that these contractor values were involved.
I thought when we lowered that one the other day, we said all properties that are valued above 69.9 be lowered to 69.9. And so if it was already below it, it didn't matter.
Right, it did. You're right. But I made that reference.
I am. And that's good.
And of course, I can forget it, but I don't remember ever stating the value on the developer.
No, you don't set the value upon the developer. You never set the value upon the developer.
No, that's his deal, and that's what you're asking for here.
You need to put that in your motion.
I, before I recognize the motion...
Did you say non-developer? I thought you were trying to limit it to the developer.
No, I'm talking about anybody but the developer lots.
Yeah. That's what I'm going on.
Non-developed lots, setting the non-developer lots excluded, setting the value to $61,000 for non-golf front lots is the motion.
That's my revised motion.
Excluding developer lots. How's that? Will I get a second on that one?
Are we keeping all...
Golf front,
78?
Yep.
Two... And is that including with the structure on it?
I don't know. You're excluding structure.
I'm not taking. Oh. I'm not even touching golf okay. front with this motion.
If you'll wait right. just a minute, I want to have Nathan repeat again what that motion was the other day.
We set a value at it. Any golf, it was at Emerald Point. It was any lot priced at above 69,000 would be set at 69,000. I think that's how the motion was. So it covered minus out. So what we did was, if it was
effectively cut the developer.
No, because developer lots are lower than 69.
That's why I'd effectively cut them out from the motion.
Correct. Yes.
Do we want to do it that same way? Is what I'm asking.
You've got to caveat it with the golf front lots.
My caveat's golf front lots, but the other thing is I'm not trying to touch the developer lots, because the developer still has many lots that are non-golf front.
You could say in your motion that you want you make a motion that all golf front lots, 78.2 and above, be established at 78.2, and all non-golf lots that are whatever figure you choose, whatever James tells me is reasonable.
61 is the average.
61 and above, be set at 61. And would that not do what you want to do as a motion?
Yeah.
Including lots with structures.
Because you don't want to touch that.
No, because we're going to fall out of market that one.
There's only 23 houses out there, right? That's what I heard. 18?
If they draw 18 of them on our next year.
Well, they're going to. They're probably one of our listeners.
Loyal listeners.
Our loyal listeners.
A motion to establish all golf front lots that are valued at 78.2 and above at 78.2, and to establish all non-golf front lots that are valued at 61,000 or greater at 61,000, excluding lots with structures.
Now we just changed that. We just included a structure in here that we reduced a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but you left that discretion to him.
Yeah, but he said he was going to hit. He said make sure you leave land alone because he was going to touch land.
This is where his is at, right?
His was 105 or land.
But he had the latitude, as long as he comes up with that value, to establish land wherever he can put it right there if he wants. Right?
Right.
That's fine.
Or not, because we excluded lot. Make your motion whether so it's this way or another way.
You don't want me to use builder lots, is what I'm hearing.
I don't want you to use lots with structures or developer lots.
All right, so I'll move that any lots valued. Hold on.
Non-developed lots, just a word.
Go ahead,
Chris. That's wrong. So I might have to start over again.
What did you start to say, young lady?
She's going
to
read back my motion.
Oh.
Yours.
Oh. Well, read it to him. See if
read his motion back?
His word.
Okay, let me hear his wording. Sure.
Motion to establish an all golf front lots at 78,200 and above, because it's 78,200, and establish an all non-golf front lots at 68,000 or above, be established at 68,000, excluding all parcels.
61. Excluding all lots with structures. What that wording would do would establish the golf front lots at 78.2, the non-golf front lots at 61. It would exclude lots with structures. And since all developer lots are less than that, it wouldn't touch them.
Here's my simple question. Why does it matter if there's a structure on there or not? How did that change the value of that lot?
Because we've had one of those 23 structures in here, and why would we want to change the values and we'd be lowering all the rest of the structure lots that had the structures on them. We'd be lowering their total valuation, which might take them out of compliance.
Would lower it if you kept the valuation the same and pumped up the value of the house,
you
right?
Put it in the
I'm not pumping, that's it.
No,
I'm
but
in trouble for that.
But you could.
I thought that's what you said a while ago. So that's my mistake. Then
I just thought you could, as long as the total value could stay the same, you could. I thought you said that you could put it. You didn't care if it was $1 to $500,000 in the other, as long as it added up to the same.
What you get into is on that, I'd rather see the difference in the land is a brand new house on it 68% by leaving the land alone.
$61,000.
That's 68% because the next house is on it 100% and the land is correct. You don't want to have that difference in your fiscal adjustments on houses. You don't want to have that difference in grading of houses, and you don't want to have your differences on any of the classification of those houses. You want to have that in the land. It's more explainable. Because all somebody has to do is say, why you got this brand new house on 68?
So what's keeping from all the other people coming, after we make this motion to have houses, to come out here? Besides 8 minutes.
I'm good. It
closes down to me.
Well, I know what he meant. I just didn't think that was a very good reason. I don't understand why we wouldn't price the lots the same. I mean,
well, we were just, all I did was bring this up to talk about. We don't have to make a motion at all, you know.
I'm going to make that call before 5. And it don't matter if you got to make the motion. I'm fine with that motion that was just formed there. I'm fine with it. And I think it'll be, may relieve a lot of problems.
Well, certainly if we call them and tell them the decision's already been made.
And I'm willing to put the time in on that.
Yeah, we have to query it
and pull it. Well, guys, just so I understand here, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. If the lot next door has a structure on it and my lot's got no structure on it, the value of the land is the value of the land. It doesn't go up because there's a structure on it.
Oh, I don't know. Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it? Well, there you have it.
So I don't know why we wouldn't instruct him just to raise the structure, the improvement line, to keep the dollar figure the same.
Now, back this up a second. You're saying we're talking about fair market value.
Correct.
If right now you can buy a house cheaper than you can build a house, as a rule, sometimes, like 3 years ago, you could build a house cheaper than you could buy a house. So depending upon what the cost of raw materials are putting into it would depend on what...
He's on the phone.
What that market value is. And so...
Did you want us, Kenny?
I was looking for Jay.
Oh, he just went that way. I'm sorry.
I would venture to guess that a lot with a house and a lot without a house at different times, equal lots will be worth different amounts based on what it would cost to... put a house on them.
Okay.
Now, right now we've got to determine if how that affects.
But in the other subdivisions, he doesn't appraise that way. He does, what does he call?
Mass appraisals. Mass appraisals. That was,
and that's what I'm saying. In a mass appraisal, we got 400 lots in Branson Hills. Why would you single out 23 or 20 or whatever the number is out there and say, no, you're more valuable because you got a structure on there versus the one next to you doesn't. That's what I'm saying, under the mass appraisal.
So why do we have to go through and change? I would rather leave some lenience where we could adjust if somebody comes in, as opposed to give them that turn at 61 now. Somebody rolls in and says, I want some more adjustment.
Well, because we have to be consistent, and we've already got a bunch of it. The ones that we've heard, we've not made any decisions on.
Well, I feel like we're consistent with singling out the ones without residences. But how many are there that of those 23 that don't have golf front? I know one, he had prime lot, he said.
The guy that was in here today certainly did.
But I heard a lot sold Friday for $20,000 on the golf front on Friday.
Well, didn't one of the guys tell us the other day that there was a sale coming up? That's
the one. It happened. 20 grand.
Foreclosure or true sale?
Bank sold it to an individual. Bank foreclosed it. Bank kept it for about, I think it was 5 or 6 months, and they sold it for $20,000. The under said payment due. I was just saying that.
Motion hasn't changed to $78,000 on golf course. We'll be sending out all the increase notices. There's 78 instead of 78. Unless you want to hear about the golf course.
Well, 78 is fine. $200.
78 is what the golf run earned now.
We don't want to get into, also, I heard some of your, I was on the phone, but I heard part of your statement. We don't want to get into lowering the land value and me having to take the houses to 120% to keep them in compliance.
So you run.
It's what I don't want to.
So the way, so what you're saying is that the State Tax Commission is going to contest the values that are being established because they don't feel they're high enough.
If they draw one out and I fell below 90% because we've lowered the land.
90% of what, James?
Compliancy of true market value.
Well, that's what we're trying to come close to.
Yeah, if you're fixing to take value off of 23 houses that has not even appealed here, and you're going to be lowering their value. They're evidently not disgruntled, or we'd have had 23 houses in here. They believe they're correct.
We've still got the rest of the month to come, though.
I know. They believe they're correct, and I believe they're correct, or they'd be here arguing. Just like the gentleman that left.
Why don't we exclude them, and we can always include them later?
Well, yeah, but I just think if we're trying to be equitable, just because they didn't appeal doesn't mean they don't. Doesn't mean we just shouldn't address them. So like, then we were saying Thousand Hills. Well, you're going to be honest, so we're not going to give you the 45-55 split because you're going to say you're going to be honest.
Well, you want to remember, too, when there's a house sitting there, the infrastructure's been laid into that lot. You've been hooked up to the sewer. You've been hooked up to the water. There's a difference. Even at part of the time, you've cleared off the lot and made it more worth more money because you put that structure there. So there is that argument also. If it's worth $80,000, with not a house on it, you put a house on it, take a dozer, clean it off, dig your basement, get your water laid, all your septic in, it's worth $20,000 to keep that done.
Oh, I'll take what you get.
James, I like what you said. That was a good speech.
Go ahead and read the motion again.
Oh, yeah. I was on for a minute. You were on there for 5 minutes.
This motion to establish that all government lots be set at 78,000 and up. No, that are at 78,000 and up be set at 78,000, and to establish that all non-golf front lots currently set at 61,000 or above be set at 61,000, excluding all parcels with structures.
That's my motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded.
What she said.
To establish. All right. Motion's been made and seconded. I don't have to reiterate it. We all know what it is. But it establishes two benchmarks, 78,000 and 61,000, excluding lots with structures. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
Can the assessor's office please contact anybody who's got Branson Hills coming up for lots only?
No, that would be...
We have to work with her.
Want to be the clerk's office?
We'll work. We'll
would
work
someone work so we can maybe cancel some of these appointments?
I don't know how many more is left, but there's several, I'm saying.
Yeah, the problem is that, on our side of the program, it doesn't show the subdivision, so we're going to have Melissa carry that. Melissa, if you're listening, thank you, Clary.
So if you work together, plus we're going to have to go back to the ones we've already heard that we've had on hold, because it would affect them.
No, we just have to apply this motion to all the previous ones.
But those lots fall within this motion for the last year's five. You've made the motion to cover everything.
What did you say? You're going to pull back to those old ones?
I said what we need to do is also look at the ones that we had on hold. Because certainly it affects them, but it's going to affect all of them.
We need to call them too.
Well, just send them a notice. We told them we'd let them know what we did.
Yep, you can let every one of them know what we did already.
Is there another action like that that we could take? Here's where I'm at. For example, Styron, what properties is he representing?
The Cedar Resort. Lot from Festive Resorts, Pepper Tree Resorts, the Painters,
Are these condos? Are they homes? Are they?
I believe that Steve is in some of those condos. Yeah, mostly Pepper Tree. Is Steve there are a couple that are just thrown in there, like the Karen K. Acres Trust and George Jenner. Most of them are Festiva.
There was a Festiva you just had.
Yeah, those are what he's representing.
Right here?
Yeah. Dapperidge, which is the Branson Sports Complex on Buchanan.
Okay, let's go to that. Can we?
Dapperidge. Down to.
Right there.
He's an individual one.
Is this the one that we saw in the newspaper?
That's it. I believe that's the one.
And is this a one that was a...
DOE? I mean, a STC?
STC? What I mean... Let me rephrase that. Is this one that was exempt, that's now not exempt, that wants to be exempt?
It's the news story. It's the news story.
It is classification. Okay, yeah.
Well, my point was, again, I believe we've been cautioned by the State Tax Commission to send just these types on.
Just like the last exemption we did.
They cut a deal.
Hey. There isn't me, Dave.
Him not.
I'm sorry.
What's that do?
He went to start up another case.
With all due respect, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
With all due respect, I would like to recess. I hate to carry in my dinner at the meeting at 6 o'clock.
Dinner?
Another facility.
I got a roll of crackers here.
Dinner?
All right.
Gentlemen, let's stand in recess until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Matter.